I want to say a prayer for Hudson, which is Glenn's great-grandson. He's not doing great, but he's got a great attitude about the situation he's in. Got a lot of brain fluid still going on, and he's like 11, 12, somewhere in there. Just let's pray for him, if you would. Let's bow together. Almighty God in heaven, we are so thankful for the collective health you've blessed us all with to be here this morning together, to benefit from our study and to lift each other up. But Father, just now we're mindful of young Hudson and his health issues and the swelling on the brain. And Father, we pray that your hand would be in all of his care, that you would be with all those tending to him, the doctors, the nurses, everyone involved in interpreting what they see. And certainly, Father, we pray that you bless them with wisdom and with deft and able hands, that they're able to do the things that they can within their means, Father. And we certainly pray fervently for healing for him. We pray that your will be done in all of these things, Father, but we lift up the family as a whole. We pray that you strengthen them. We pray, Father, that these trials, these times of physical weakness, draw them very, very close to you. We pray, Father, that they feel the strength. We pray that young Hudson would see recovery and improvement, and certainly with the success of the treatment that he gets, to regain a good and fruitful life. Father, we are mindful of those around us that are in need. Help us, Father, always to be willing to take the time, even if it's offering prayer or visiting or serving in some way. Father, help us to be diligent in sharing our love as you have instructed. We love you so very much, Father. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, so we are starting into lesson two. Again, remember the PDF is in your email. If you're not a PDF kind of person, I get that. There's printouts out there. It's for you to have the paper copy as we work through this. And as is our habit and practice, and we certainly miss occasionally, but we've been on a good roll here as of late, the next week's lessons are right there on the table. So if you forgot, you know, today's lesson, it's right between the doors. But take next week's lesson with you when you leave today so you can have the week to read it over and look at it. Because this book is laid out a little differently, you know, than a lot of the like workbook material that we have. There's a few more pages to read. There's quite a bit of scriptural reference, which is, of course, always good for our study. And I just hope that you see the value in doing that work on your own. Because we are not going to be able to cover all the material in the class. There's tons of valuable information. There are wonderful scriptural references that we won't touch on, that maybe, just maybe, the devil's hoping you don't pay attention to, because that's the very thing that you might be needing to get through this next week. So please put the effort, put the energy in to looking through the lesson, because if there's something we don't cover, raise your hand. Let's bring it up. We'll talk about it. If it's something that was something you noticed that you'd like to discuss in class, all on the table for discussion. I just have to select what we do to get through it. So with that being said, let's go ahead and get into our study this morning. The focus this morning, the lesson two, is serving one another. And the author kind of kicks this thought off with Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. And it says, "For you called to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another." Casey, I'm coming at you. How can I use my freedom as an opportunity for the flesh? What is he talking about here? That's okay. Anybody can chime in. How can I use my freedom? And what kind of freedom are we really referencing here in Galatians chapter 5? Right? And that typically is free from what that they're used to? Right? Freedom from the Mosaic law, right? So because that is pretty much unencumbering someone, freeing them up quite a bit, why and how could that become an opportunity for the flesh? What is he talking about there?
We can sum it up in one word that starts with an S, but I don't know if anybody's thinking like I am. Any thoughts?
Ooh, dead on the money. Selfishness. Anything you want to put in there is probably just a manifestation of some form of seeking to serve ourselves before we serve other people. And so one of the things mentioned in the material is the quote that service is love made visible. And boy, there's a lot of truth to that. And we can think about different ways we've seen little kids, elderly, and everywhere in between spend their time caring for, ministering to, helping, providing some kind of assistance to other people. And we get to be the beneficiary of that because we get to see it. And we get to see the back and forth of that. But yet, now, Jesse spent a good bit of time on this, so I don't want to spend more time than we need to this morning, but yet we could preach a gospel meeting about John chapter 13, because this is where we have one of how many opportunities, right, to look at Jesus' love in action. But does anybody remember where John 13 takes us? Remember what event that was in his ministry, in his time on the earth, before his death and resurrection? What did he do in John 13? Somebody look that up and tell me.
He washes the disciples' feet.
Very good. He washes the disciples' feet. And we talked about that, right? You know, and the differing, you know, responses to that. Because I'd have been right there with Peter. There's no way I would have been able to handle knowing that this is a fleshly manifestation of Creator God. And he is going to, of course, do one of those lowliest of tasks. And he even told him, right, you know, you don't really understand what I'm doing right now, but you will. And what was it that they needed to understand about that example? I mean, it was certainly his love in action, and we could see it. What was the biggest takeaway that they needed to understand from what he did? Right? Those that shall be the greatest must be servant of all. For the Son of God came to serve. And so we certainly see his love in action by the service that he provides, but yet a paramount lesson for them to learn as well. So the author talks about these three characteristics of a servant. And he broke it down this way. Now, we could all come up with our own, but I think he does a pretty good job kind of covering an umbrella. Put others' needs first, prepare to be inconvenienced, and serve in unnoticed ways, which is interesting. I'm grateful they put that here because, again, we're all familiar with the showboat, right? The one that just wants to do, you know, I've always said the last to volunteer is usually always the first to criticize, or at least the first to be in line for the attaboys, you know, kind of thing. So let's just kind of break these down and look at these. So to put others' needs first, he talks about this idea of not what's in it for me, but rather what do they need? Like, can you look out in this audience and go person by person and just think about as a little exercise what they need? Even if you don't know them, go ahead and turn in your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. Even if you don't know that person, if you have any length of life in you, you could probably guesstimate their age, guesstimate what they're involved in, and guess about a couple ways that you could help them. You know, if it's not the absolute pinpoint, most accurate way to help them, I bet they'll still be grateful that you were helping them. But how many times we're like, well, I just, you know, if I saw a need, I'd fill it. We talk about that, right? Living life with our blindfolds on, or so busy in our life that, you know, we're not going to see anything when we're staring at our feet running in circles. So if somebody read for me, please, for the class, nice and loud, Philippians 2, 3, and 4. Anybody got it? Daniel, you got it? Sorry, that's okay. I thought he had it right there. Anybody got it? Phil, go ahead. Read that nice and loud for us.
Complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourself.
Verse 4.
Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others.
I don't think anybody's heard that for the first time this morning. Right? That's a familiar verse for us. But again, this is not about educating you. This is about encouraging you. I hope it's an education too. But as I look around the audience here, I'm not thinking there's a whole lot of people here that hasn't already heard all this. But we need to hem it together and get busy doing it. Because I'm not going to be in the group of people. I pray to God I'm not going to be in the group of people that get up to the day of judgment and be real short on the doing, but could quote verses to God Almighty. I kind of have a feeling that's going to work out real poorly for me. I could memorize the Bible and regurgitate it to him. Now, how excited would you be, Steve, if I memorized a speech of yours and said it back to you? How much better would you feel if you told me to do something or a way to live and I lived it? It's common sense. We've got to get busy doing this stuff. Right? So when it says, let each of you look not only on your own needs, but also to the needs of others. Okay, so then we need to sit back. What have I done this week? Stop looking at this grand scheme of what you could do. Look at what you did last week. Is it full of serving others or not? That's an easy place to start. I'm not going to shame you. I'm not going to make you feel bad. I'm just trying to help you find the best, most efficient way to assess where you are. Because that's one of the things I struggle with. I don't like to talk down to, oh, this next generation, we're going to, you know. I'm not a big fan of doing that. But what I have noticed, at least in our current culture, it seems like we struggle vehemently with discovering what the real problem is and then coming up with an appropriate solution. We have 1,000 ideas of what we think the problem might be and twice as many opportunities of whose fault it is, but we're really struggling with figuring out exactly what the problem really is and shortcut to God's wisdom to solve that problem. David, what are you thinking?
Well, I was just going to... Jesus said in that reading in John later, he's like, if you do this, you will find joy. And so this question here, what's in it for me, is joy.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so when we're down and out and we're, you know, maybe not feeling real good about ourselves or just, you know, struggling, the best way to pick yourself up is to help someone. And you will be surprised how much that will change. You're thinking you're going to help somebody and they appreciate it, but sometimes you get help more than they do.
And then life is hard. Anybody not know that? You want to know an easy secret to make it real easy? Be joyful in everything you do. Find joy in it, folks, because even in your misery, even in your trials, God's already said, hey, this works out for your good. You're miserable, you're suffering, you're tired, you're exhausted, you're angry, you're hateful, whatever that is, just choose joy. You make a decision every morning. You're going to wake up and complain? You ever meet somebody that's like everything out of their mouth is a complaint? Or heaven forbid, they stumble on a compliment. They always finish it with a but, and then they have something that they say, which may only be a few words that negates everything they just said. Guys, we have a profound amount of joy and energy in changing the way, right? How are we transforming our minds, as Romans said, right? Renewing our minds, Dave?
I'm just going to add, you know, I had some people at work a lot of times, they come in grumpy and just not real happy doing what they're doing. And I would tell them, nobody woke up and said, I wonder how I can mess up your life today.
Yeah.
Nobody does that. And so, again, it's going back to, today I'm going to choose to be happy. It's a conscious choice every day.
Amen. They used to tell me, nobody woke you up with a boot to the face. I'm like, well, no, and I'm glad, I guess, you know. Everybody turn your Bibles to Luke 17, please. Luke 17, verses 7 through 10. Oh, yes, Glenn, thank you.
I'm sure everybody here knows this, but just a reminder, do good unto all men, but not just limited to the group here. But any time we see an occasion, we're to take advantage of it. I'm not saying I do, but I was supposed to.
Well, the G.I. Joe cartoons when I was a kid. Now you know, and knowing is half the battle, right? And I want to stress that, Glenn, because that's an important. Sometimes we look at the end of a verse and we forget the middle. Do good unto all men. And what's the second half of that? Especially to those of the household of faith. So that's where we end, right? We were just focusing here, but we forget what the introduction of that idea was. Do good unto all men. Thank you, Glenn, for bringing that up. So this idea that we're commanded to serve, I know Leslie brought that up, you know, in a couple classes ago, like we're commanded to do these things. Man, wouldn't it be awesome if that's just how it worked? Like we were commanded to do it and then we just automatically do it. But that's not how it works. There's all kind of commandments out there floating around that I'm not doing because they're not always in my forefront of my mind and I'm trying to do as good as I can. Let alone the people that are got an angst with a member at church or angst with God or, you know, angst in their life or their job. So somebody read for me Luke 17, 7, 8, 9, and 10. Keith, please, nice and loud.
Sorry if I start in verse 6?
Sure.
It says, so the Lord said, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you can say to this mulberry tree, be pulled up by the roots and be planted in the sea, and it will obey you. And which of you, having a servant, plowing or tending sheep, will say to him when he has come in from the field, come at once and sit down to eat? But will he not rather say to him, prepare something for my supper, and gird yourself and serve me till I have eaten and drunk, and afterward you will eat and drink? Does he thank that servant because he did the things that were commanded him? I think not. So likewise you, when you have done all those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do.
Okay. So we see there, and I mean, some of you might be reading that and say, well, even if I had a servant, I'd probably still say thank you. You know, because, it's not really talking about social graces here. It's trying to help illustrate what responsibility is. You know, this sounds kind of cruel because if somebody was out there helping you at your house and they were slaving all day out in the yard, you're like, get in here, let me get you a glass of tea, let's sit down and have a meal. Well, that's not your servant, that's your friend. Your servant, see, it's his job or her job to do all that and to take care of you, so that's all part of it. And so it's just like the expectation, right? That's your job description, those are the things you do, and you like to hope you'd still be thankful. But at the end of the day, you've just done your job. You know, I used to struggle so much with, well, I won't even get into that. So it's important for us to at least do what we've been asked. Because we've been commanded to serve. And that's an easy illustration. Now, we got to keep moving because we're going to struggle to get through this. So demonstrating the love of God, okay? This is the idea of putting others' needs first. I hope this verse was in your minds even as we opened the topic. Somebody read for me James chapter 2. 15, 16, and 17, please. James chapter 2. Go ahead, Brian.
If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead.
You know, and again, not new material, but a re-emphasis on the fact that we might hold our faith in God with some high esteem. We might consider, even though we wouldn't say it out loud because that kind of sounds like bragging and nobody likes a bragger, but you're grateful, right? You can be thankful for your measure of faith, and you can be thankful if you're full of faith. Be grateful for that. Embrace that. Celebrate that. But at the same time, understand that if that's how you feel about yourself, then you should be full of doing things for people as well. Praying is not to be understated. Praying is one of the most powerful tools God has given us. But at the same time, there are plenty of opportunities where we could do something more tangible that answers an immediate need, and the verse is speaking to that. John, what are you thinking?
Along with James 2, James chapter 1, verse 22 says, do not merely listen to the word, but do what it says. Mm-hmm. And then if you go down, I don't know if it's a verse or two, it talks about a mirror. Looking in the mirror, when we look in the mirror, you see yourself, but then you just walk away. That means to me that I need to recognize those things that I see, and don't just recognize them and walk away from them. I need to do it.
Well, and you're exactly right, John. And to Kevin's point earlier, okay, and I didn't really want to talk a lot about this, so I'll mention it briefly. Guys, the whole point, right, is serving one another. That's the whole point of this whole lesson, is to serve one another. You're never going to serve anyone if you're still valuing your time for your things more important than your time to help others with other things. Everybody is important. Everybody has a busy life. Everybody has 1,000 things to do. But it's will you choose to chisel out your time to help someone else. It's really what it comes down to. That's the sum total of what all this is. Now, we're still going to work through this because it's important, but at the end of the day, the brass tacks is, will you put your desires, however important they might be, will you put your desires aside so that you can be of service to someone? We have to ask ourselves. And the second point that he makes about this mind or characteristic of a servant is prepare to be inconvenienced, right? This isn't anything new. And I love the statement that he said, opportunities to serve others are often overlooked or left undone. Why? Well, I don't have time for that right now. That's legit. You know, we'll compare schedules. It's not a competition, but it's hard sometimes to weasel out some time to be able to help our brethren. But guys, this is the closest group of people that you should be coordinating with, right? Or collaborating with. That's the word I was looking for. Because this is your family of God's people. And so we have to be aware of that. The Good Samaritan. You know, we read that story all the time. We're not going to read it this morning for the sake of time. Do you think it was just because the Samaritan had nothing to do? See, we don't talk about the parable this way. We talk about how noble the Samaritan was. We talk about how wise he was. We talk about how loving he was because he stopped and helped. But nobody talks about, well, maybe the Samaritan was busier than the priest and the Levite combined. Not only that, maybe the Samaritan was poor as a church mouse, as the phrase goes. We don't know if the Samaritan gave out of his abundance or if he gave out of his lack, like the widow. We don't know, but we don't ask ourselves about those questions. Because we're not thinking about it in that context. That Samaritan might have been the busiest man that Jericho had ever seen. He also might have been the poorest. But he invested that which is most valuable, which is his time and his love. Zip, what are you thinking?
I think it boils down to a lot of times it's return on your investment. What is it, how is it important to you at the time? Because like you said, it's never convenient, but sometimes you have to look at your life situation and determine, can you do it? Sometimes you just can't. Fair enough, I mean, you just can't. But sometimes it becomes, you know, is the inconvenience, you take on that inconvenience for the fulfillment factor, you know, that makes you just feel great when you can really help somebody. I mean, there's probably not a better feeling in the world when you just know that you're able to help somebody.
Right, we're told we're laying up for ourselves treasure in heaven. You know, and here's a real easy illustration, guys. Let's take it back to belief, okay? Let's take it back to belief. We're told in the scriptures what we get if we're willing to serve, if we put ourselves aside and serve other people. We're told what we get. So here's a good litmus test, okay? If I told you, if I put a $100 bill on the pulpit right here and I said, if you bring me a penny from your car, I'll give you that $100. Okay, after services, right? You got to pay attention to me. But after services, you bring me a penny from your car, I'll give you $100. And I had it right here and you trusted me. Some of you tear the lid off your console trying to find a penny. So you get the $100, right? Because it's real money and it's right now. You would be willing to do that. You'll go to Kohl's because they're having their, whatever their sale is. You'll look on Harbor Freight or you'll find your finest online retailer and you'll only buy when there's a sale or a deal because you're careful about that stuff. You're trying to watch your money. You're trying to be good stewards. And all day long, you're passing hundreds of opportunities by to serve your brothers and sisters, which pays a greater dividend than you could ever calculate because we don't really believe, possibly, that that's really what we're going to end up with. And we need to ask ourselves, is that me? Am I short changing myself? Because I've not really got to a point where I really believe God when he says, the most valuable thing you can do in this life, outside of be faithful, right, to the gospel, is to serve one another. When we lose track of the reward of showing, how are we to be known? How are we identified as God's people in what we do? How much money we make? What is it? This is how you'll know that you're my disciples and that you have love for one another. I'll say it out of the book of Jamie. We'll be known as Christ's disciples when we're willing to take time for each other. Dawn?
Sometimes we use the word should. We should do this. The minute we use the word should, we take the command out because we've already given ourselves an out. Well, I should do that, but God understands if I don't.
Yeah, how does that change? I should, and fill in the blank, or I must. You know, you are parents. You have some absolutes in your hearts and minds about what you'll do for your kids. There is no way, or I must, or I will always, or I will never. So you don't want wiggle room there because you're stirred to that level of commitment. But boy, when it comes to the Lord's commands, should, would, could, maybe, boy, we're trying to give ourselves so much wiggle room, we about fall out of the loopholes. So again, just trying to stir. Inconvenient. Who was the most inconvenienced out of this whole process? To give us the greatest benefit, right? So those are things that we need to keep in our mind. John Wesley was a quote that was put in the book, do all the good you can by all the means you can and all the ways you can in all the places you can at all the times you can to all the people you can as long as you ever can. That kind of covers it, doesn't it? I'm grateful that he put it in there that way. Serve in unnoticed ways was his third point. And the scriptures that he references, Matthew 6. Matthew 6, 1 through 4. Somebody want to read that for me nice and loud? Got a little bit of time left. I want to make sure we get this illustration in. Matthew chapter 6, verses 1 through 4. Daniel?
That you do not do your charitable deeds before men to be seen by them. Otherwise, you have no reward from your Father in heaven. Therefore, when you do a charitable deed, do not sound a trumpet before you as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets that they may have glory from men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But when you do a charitable deed, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, that your charitable deed may be in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will himself reward you openly.
Boom, there it goes again. You believe what that just said? Do you believe when it says the Father who sees in secret will reward you openly? Do you believe that? You don't have to tell me yes or no. Just look at the week that you just spent. The sum total of the last 7 days, did you live like what that verse says? Don't answer it. Just reflect on that. Meditate on that. Be still in your heart and your mind about that. Reflect upon that. Pray on that. And if you need to change that, then change that. Starting today, change that. You know, I love it when God gives us stuff that's like impossible to do. Because it's very little. But boy, that illustration, come on, man. Do something where my right hand don't know what my left hand's doing. That's impossible for a human. Well, there's one exception, but we won't get into that. So the idea is that's how anonymous, though. I just can't hold the grin back. I love doing stuff on the side, and people just have to try to figure out what happened or how it happened, and I just have to get out of the way so my grin doesn't give it away. But boy, the anonymity is wonderful to be able to help people because you don't have to worry about them paying back the favor, right? Because Jesus said, do this to people who you know can't pay you back. David?
I was just going to say, we shouldn't assume just because somebody in here might not be as visible about some of those things that they're not behind the scenes dealing with.
That's right.
Family things, children things, and that's serving too.
Oh.
And so we just need to be careful making assumptions about how active somebody is.
That's
we
right.
don't know.
Well, the elders fall into that category all the time, don't they? Well, what are the elders doing about it? Well, that's kind of a need-to-know basis. I don't want to be rude about it. But they're probably real busy with it. But don't you dare assume that they're uninvolved, they don't know. If it's a concern to you, then go to them. But boy, it's a wickedness when we automatically start categorizing people. Well, I don't know what they're doing. They're retired. They're this, they're that, right? We make that mistake. And then we have all these excuses of why we're talking down about someone. Beth?
One religious organization that really shows their love for one another and their service is, and as wrong as they are, is the Amish. And you can see that, I mean, when something happens to that community, they rally together as a group, and you can see the love that they have for each other. They cook when somebody's sick. They throw up a barn when somebody burns down or falls down or whatever. They'll shoe the horses if, you know, somebody, they'll plow their neighbor's field. They'll, you know, help can when a woman is unable to in her own home and everything. And that's something to be admired. And wouldn't that be great if people would say, oh, the Church of Christ, I mean, you can see that they love each other because they're always doing it for one another.
And the Lord's Church should have that reputation, right? We should have that reputation as individuals. But you know, it's not an icky, gushy, love, all huggy-dovey, all that. It's, hey man, my car's, well, not for them. But anyway, you know what? Hey, I need this. I'll be over in the morning. Like, it's just a matter of fact. Like, okay, yeah, I'll be there to help you fix it. Dwight, and then Glenn.
The whole thing hinges. We have brotherly love. We have love for our spouses and everything. Mm-hmm. But true love, as Scripture mentions, is the agape love, where you seek the welfare of others, not yours.
That's right. Love of others above yourself. That's an excellent point. Glenn, what do you think?
This conversation kind of reminds me of, I've been in a lot of congregations where they have to sing the old song, there is room in the kingdom.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. For worker just like you, right? Mm-hmm. Well, and so the other reference that the author gave for this was Matthew 5 and 16, and that's simply that when others do see your good work, it's not all about, boy, Charlie, you know, he's just such an upstanding guy. It's so Charlie can glorify his Father in heaven, right? So a little worldly example, okay, not to get overly political, and this isn't a political statement, but I always really, really love this little thing right here on this guy's desk. And if you don't know what that says, it says, there is no limit to what a man can do or where he can go if he doesn't mind who gets the credit. Man. Yeah, I should have that as a sign in my office. I say it as much as I do. So the author does. He gives a lot of, and I'm going to read these through because we're almost out of time. But ways, practical ways, right, that we can serve. We know how we should, to Don's point, right? But here's some practical stuff he gives. Buy groceries for a needy family. Invite some less fortunate people to your home for an evening of food and fellowship. Serve in a homeless shelter. Buy clothing or shoes for someone who can't afford it. Pay medicine for a sick child or adult. Give someone who can't drive or doesn't have a car to services, give them a ride to the services or grocery store. And some of you guys are doing this, right? So this is good. This is good reinforcement. Sharing some vegetables from your garden, buying a meal at a restaurant for someone, sharing some extra canned goods, serving a neighbor by mowing their yard or babysitting so they can go have a date. Changing a flat tire for someone stranded, serving a senior citizen who needs chores done around their home, being there to help or maybe just to listen, giving food to the hungry, drink to the thirsty, shelter to a stranger, clothing to the naked, medicine to the sick, and visiting those in prison as referenced in Matthew 25, 31 through 46. Guys, there are others you can probably think of. And I hope I didn't come across too aggressively this morning. But guys, at the end of the day, I want you to be looking at this next week as a week with more opportunity than you looked at last week. You probably did an awesome job last week. All I'm saying is let's look deep in our hearts, and if there's a little bit of improvement we can offer, then let's take a hold of it, and let's look at how we might consider serving one another this next week. Thank you guys very much for your thoughts and your time.